Thanks, mate. G'day, kids, come on down. How you going? How you going? Pleased to meet you. My name's Simon. How you going? Name's Simon. G'day. Name's Simon. How you going? Name's Simon. How you going? Name's Simon. Oh, g'day. How you going? My name's Simon. Hey, guess what I discovered today? Pretty amazing. I discovered I'm a king. Oh, I was more impressed. Okay, and you know why I discovered I was a king? Is because you watch this. You ready? Simon says, stick your right hand up. See? I must be a king because I say stuff and people do it. And I thought, well, if I'm going to be a king, then I've got to look like a king, don't I? So I got my crown on. And kings, they like have a royal scepter or a sword, so I got me sword. Who reckons I look like a king? I don't look like a king? What's wrong? Why don't I look like a king? It's not a crown. So if I had a crown on, and that's a ruler because it's got okay. So what you're saying to me is, I came prepared. So now I'm a king. Oh, so what you're saying is, so I've got a sword, I've got a crown. I know what else I need. I've heard that purple is a royal colour. So now I'm a king, aren't I? I've got my royal robe on. It's hard. But when I said Simon says, stick your hand up, you all followed what I said. So that's what a king does, isn't it? A king says stuff and people follow. Isn't that the way it goes? Oh, I think you're going to trick me if I do. Yeah. So what I'm discovering you're saying is that being a king is a bit more than having a crown on a sword and a robe. Are you saying it's got to be a bit more than that? A bit more. So come up here. You come up here, sir. Come up here. So if I gave him the crown and you hold my sword, oh, you're looking dangerous, and I gave him the big purple robe, does that mean he's a king now? He's just a kid. But there were kids who were kings back in history, so he could be a king, couldn't he? Because his name's not Simon. His name's Jono. King Jono. Does that work? No. What you're saying is it must be about the name. Is it? Is it about the name? So King Simon, does that sound like, King Jono? Is it about the name? Oh, it's not about the name. What's it more about? Okay. Now we're talking. Here you go, King Jono. Oh. Well, you're going to have to use your imagination. Oh, hang on. Has Donnie got some prop that I didn't realize? Oh. Is that more throne-ish? Here you go, King Jono. There you go. Okay, so now we have King Jono with his loyal servant. Is that work now? Is he now a king? He's not a king. Wow, you're a tough crowd to get someone to be a king. But you know what? We've been doing stuff upstairs about the Psalms, haven't we? That's right. The book of Psalms and all the different types of Psalms that there are. And today we're going to be looking at the royal Psalms. And when I was doing a bit of thinking for today, thinking, well, hopefully everyone think I'm King Simon, but obviously I'm not. I actually went and discovered that maybe it could be to do with names. So can I have some helpers up here, please? Could you come, all of you? I need all of you today. I need all of you too. How are you going there, King John? Are you good? Yep. How are they going? Are they being very obedient? Oh, dear. You guys could be in trouble. So, if you hold that one for me, and if you hold that one for me, and if you hold that one for me, please. Okay, you hold that one for me. Okay. Okay, and you hold that one for me. And, you look like you're a good help. Tell him to come and help me. You're the king. Oh, you got to come and help. That'll do. And is there anyone else who can help me? Because I've got two more pieces of paper. Oh, you got to come and help. Look, you got to do what the king says. And we need one more helper. Who do we need, king? Oh, okay. You got to come and help as well. Okay. Oh, I know. I gave you two. Okay, hold them up nice and high. Does everyone know what these say? Up nice and high. Does anyone know what these say? Besides my daughter? It does. It says Jesus in lots of different countries and different languages. Does anybody recognize any of the languages? Yeah, well done. Okay, we've got one. Cool. It doesn't, but it's not important. But what I discovered, King Jono, was that the name Jesus is a name that is known by lots and lots of different countries. I did a quick Google search and I discovered King Simon is not known by many people at all. But Jesus is known by heaps of people and heaps of countries. And they say his name in the way that they say it in their different countries. And I went, wow, when we're going to look at the royal Psalms, we're going to talk about, you know, royalty and the kings of the time, but we're going to talk about the King of Kings that all of these countries know about. And I thought that was pretty cool to do. Do you think that'd be exciting to go and check that out today? Do you think we should tell all the kids that they have to follow King Jono and lead the way to the promised land of Children's Church? Oh, sounds pretty good. So let's pray and then we're going to head off, okay? You can just leave them on the floor if you like. That'll be fine there. That'll be good. Okay. Okay, let's pray, kids. Okay, God, we want to thank you for today and we want to thank you for our helpers and we want to thank you, Lord, that as much as an earthly king might tell us what to do, that you, the King of Kings, that you actually lived for us, you died for us, and you give us eternal life. And we thank you for that. And we look forward to going upstairs today and learning more about you and how wonderful you are. In your precious name, amen. Lead the way, King Jono.
We have three short readings today. The first one is taken from Matthew chapter 6. And it's just one verse. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The second reading is from Mark chapter 1. It's also just one verse. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And the third reading is from Romans 8, verses 5 to 7. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so.
Just want to tell you a short story to start with about my mum. Now, I love my mum. She's 82 years old, and it's fair to say that she's not very good with gadgets of any sort. Computers are her worst enemy. And mobile phones, they're public enemy number two. She doesn't want a smartphone, so she's got one of those old fold-out phones. And 2 years ago at Christmas time, I sat down with Mum and she said, "My phone keeps beeping at me." And I had a look at it and it says, "Mum, it means your messages are full." "What messages? I've never got any messages." And I said, "Hold on a sec, let me show you." And in her text messages was some whatever number, 100 or something text messages. And I said, "Have you read these?" "I didn't even know they were there. How did I read them?" So I went through and I said, "Well, this is from so-and-so." "Oh, yeah, that was last year." And so I went through and deleted all the text messages. Thankfully, there were none that were emergencies. And then there was the beeping still happened. And she said, "It's still beeping. You've not done it properly." And I had a look and it was her recorded messages. And I said, "There's recorded. I haven't got any recorded messages." "You have, Mum." And I put the button and it was just the mailbox was full of all these messages. So I went through and listened to them and said, "Do you want me to?" And ages deleting all these messages. Anyway, at the end of it, it came up with a message: "Would you like to make a new recording?" And I went, "Yes." And Mum's going, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm putting a new message on here for you." And she said, "Okay, what are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, you can listen as I do it." And so as it came up, it said, "You know, do the message and then hit star or hash. Hi, you've called Marjorie Johnson. She has missed your phone call. Please do not leave a message. She will not check it and will not return your phone call. So in 10 minutes, try again. Dash." And she's hitting me. "What did you do that for?" "Isn't that true?" "Yes." The next Christmas, her thing was beeping again. All these people, even after leaving that message, had left her messages. And so she's going, "Oh, life is just so confusing, so frustrating." Do you ever feel that way? That life is getting frustrating and confusing, all these gadgets. I mean, I've got a smartphone and it's pretty good. But, you know, Jamie and Michaela get onto it and they fix this and fix that. And, "Oh, this is better for this and this is better for that." I thought I was being real smart. The other day I downloaded an app that had a phone and all these remembrance things and everything on it. Not a phone, a clock and all these things on it. And I thought that was really cool. And then after 45 minutes to an hour, it had gone through half its battery. And I went, "What?" So I hit the button to check it and said, "This new app you have installed is using up lots of energy." And I went, "Oh, I'll get rid of that." But Michaela's very good at all this sort of stuff. And it's amazing, this new technology. I wonder how, in the middle of all this, we can stop and be still and know God. I wonder, with the busyness of our world, everything, the demands, everything that's happening, all the amazing things that we can be a part of, we can find out the most amazing details about what's going on. You know, the fire that happened just south here. I've seen pictures of the fire. I haven't been near it, but I've seen pictures of it. People recording the flames as they drive past in the car. Or, you know, people from the surf club who live down in that area of the town whose house was one bit back from the fire. His whole family was evacuated. He's taking photos and putting them up online. I've been a part of that, although I've still been up here. You know what I mean? We can do all these amazing things, but in the middle of all this, God still calls us to be still and to know that He is God. Today, the challenge is to stop and to listen. To stop and to listen. Now, I said I've tried to do this 3 times this week and failed each time. The first time I went up into the shack, which is where I have my little office and space and guitar and all that sort of stuff. And I sat up there thinking that would be a great time for me to have just a chill, quiet, me and God time. Only problem was Louis thought that was a good time to come up and hang out with me as well. Louis's my dog. And so as much as I tried to connect, he wanted to play. And so that didn't work real well. So I ended up getting away from there and walking down the beach and just walking along the beach. And you'd think, no phone on you, no nothing, you'd be right. But as soon as I just sort of emptied my mind, guess what came to mind? I had a talk to do Saturday night, so I started thinking about the talk. I had a sermon to do Sunday morning, so I started to do that. I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to do that sort of stuff. I just want to have time with you, you and me. I don't want to do work stuff. So that got sidetracked and distracted. The third time was in the car. I turned the radio off as I was driving along and just thought I'd do that. But unfortunately, there was a few incidents that took place in the car and I was again sidetracked. The things that took place. I don't know about you, but how do you go being still and knowing that I am God? Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. First one I want to grab with this, and I've got a few points for us today, and some of them hopefully will be very helpful. The first one is a challenge that I actually heard at the prayer schools of intercession last weekend. And part of it is to redefine the way that we look at prayer. I don't know about you, but for me, prayer is me talking to God. You know, Acts, for example, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I can use that as my prayer, no worries at all, and miss listening to God altogether. But I've done my acts. I've ticked it off. I've done all that. I can do my devotionals. I can do all these different things, but sometimes that listening to God is missed greatly. And this first definition is probably where I belong. It says, prayer is an activity of man that requires the cooperation of God to fulfill our heart's desires. Does that sound okay? Let me read it again. Prayer is an activity of man that requires the cooperation of God to fulfill our heart's desires. Now, a lot of my heart's desires are pretty good. I'm praying for people to be healed. I'm praying for Mick in hospital as he recovers. I'm praying for my mum that she'll have success with her mobile phone. I'm praying for this church that we will continue to grow, that we'll have things that are happening there. Good heart desires, they're not bad. I'm not praying that the Broncos will win. I'm praying good prayers. But can you see where that is man's activity? Can you see what I'm saying? The second definition is just a little bit different, but I think you'll like it and you'll see that it's important. Prayer is actually an activity of God. Prayer starts with God. It's not my idea. I'm the one that not came up with it. You didn't come up with it. Mankind didn't come up with it. It's actually God's plan of Him communicating with us. It's His idea. It's His activity. So prayer is an activity of God that requires the cooperation of us. We need to cooperate with God to fulfill whose heart's desires? God's heart's desires. Not my heart's desires, but God's heart desires. So to actually stop and think, okay, what's God's heart's desire for Mick as he's recuperating in hospital? What's God's heart's desire for this church? What is it that God wants to do? What does God want to do in my community? To stop and to listen and be obedient to that. Now, if you grab your Bible and you go through every section where a prophet or a man of God gets to have a vision of heaven, it's a pretty significant vision, isn't it? It's a busy place. There's amazing things taking place. There is the 24 hours. There's the singing. There is the holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come being said all day long. It is an amazing place. It is an amazing prayer hub, the throne room of God. And so right from that seat comes God's desires into our hearts. Psalm 19, isn't it a powerful psalm? Let me read it to you. It's amazing. I like it when I'm walking along the beach, but I like it because it says something powerful for us today. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands." You ever done that? You ever looked at a sunrise or a sunset or looked at the stars? Now, when I was on Fraser Island retreating with the guys, fishing, and the fish weren't biting, looking up at the stars was just a great way to spend 3 hours while you held a rod. You know, as you just looked at them, wow, look how good that is. There must be a God, eh? There must be. Looking at that creation. And the sunrise, I just love, cleaning out my photos the other day, I must have over 200 sunrise photos. I like sunrises. Amazing. But listen to this. Day after day, they pour forth speech. The heavens declare. They're pouring forth speech. Listen to what it says. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard, but yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. And that backs up fully that God is the one who ordains prayer. Prayer was his idea. It's his activity. And he wants us to get involved with what he wants to do in and through our community, in and through our lives. Now, a couple of the readings that we heard today were about Jesus and his teaching about prayer. And what did he say about prayer? When you pray, go to a secret place or a solitary place, a place where you can be alone with God. And for Jesus, he practiced that in Mark chapter 1. When he got up early in the morning, before the sun had got up, he went and found a solitary place. The number of times that the disciples had to go find Jesus. They'd get up in the morning, breakfast, and they'd be looking around, where's Jesus? Where'd he go? And they'd have to go out into the wilderness or into the hills or into the mountains to find him, finding a spot of prayer. It happened again and again and again. It was something significant for Jesus to do. So, stopping and listening. How do we do it? Monday morning, I was reading my Bible and doing a devotional, which was a really good series. I really enjoyed it. And I was one of the parts I enjoyed was it had lots of Bible verses behind the devotional. Lots, like 7 or 8 different passages. And as I was reading one of these passages, one of them stuck out to me big time. A mate of mine, same age as me, is going through a major operation on the 23rd of August. He's having a robot operate on his, now I always get this wrong, is it prostate. He's got a medium to high level cancerous growth there that is vicious, and so they're going in to operate on the 23rd, and he's on my prayer list to pray for him, and he's talking with me at length about everything that's happening for him in going through this terrible time in his life. So he's going forward for this operation. I saw this passage and I'm reading it through, and then all of a sudden I hear, you know, this still small voice go, that'd be a good passage to pass on to Dave. And I'm like, yeah, that would be a good passage. You never do that? You hear something, go, oh yeah, that would be a good idea, you know? And I said, yeah, that would be good to pass that on to Dave. And I thought, oh, I wonder if that was just me, because I really wasn't praying. I was just reading my Bible. Well, what have I got to lose? So I got my text message and sent him a message. And he sent one back, you know, within 5-10 minutes saying, yeah, thanks, mate, that was good. Okay, that was fine then. No worries. Okay. No harm, no foul, no worries. Half an hour later, he rings me back and he goes, buddy, I've just been doing my quiet time and writing in my journal. And he goes, and I go, yeah, good, mate, good. And he said, no, that passage. I said, yeah, you said it was okay. He said, no. He said, one of the ladies at my church, he goes to a church of 800 people in Ipswich, and one of the ladies, he said, I don't know her, but she's one of these freaky intercessor prophet type people. And she came up to me and she said, I have a word for you from God. And he went, yeah? And she said, here it is. And then she backed it up with a Bible passage. And he went, oh, okay, cool. So he put it in his journal and he wrote it up. And he said, okay, Lord, if that's from you, because it's a good passage, if that's from you, you need to back it up for me. And guess what the passage was? The exact same one that I sent to him. Exact same chapter, verses. And so he went, he's really excited. He said, so here's that freaky, you know, intercessor, prophet type lady. And she said, I know you're normal. So if you think God spoke to you, I'll believe you on that one. And so he was pumped. He was excited because it was a good passage for him. So I think in the middle of it, we still need to listen to that still small voice. But to set aside a time, I think we need to go biblical on that. We need to find a place that is quiet. Susanna Wesley wasn't able to do that unless she grabbed her apron and put it over her head. And the kids all knew when Mama put the apron over her head, you didn't mess with her because she was in her time with God. And that was her space with God. Men and women of the church all throughout the ages have done that. They've found times and spaces. Brian Willisdorf tells me a story about Billy Graham on a tour over in the UK, and they go through John Wesley's house. And when they get to John Wesley's house, the guy is the tour guide, says, now that when we go in there, I want to see if you could point something out. And everyone's looking at it and they don't notice it. And then Billy notices it. And then he sees that beside the bed is grooves in the wood where John Wesley used to kneel beside his bed and pray. How's that? That you did that enough that you wore a groove in the wood. And the other part of the story goes that, and Billy jumped over the do not go over sign and went and put his knees in those same spot and said, do it again through me, God. It's an amazing story. But John Wesley had that prayer habit. I wonder if he got it from his mum, you know? I wonder if he saw his mum do the apron thing all the time and went, yeah, my mum's a godly woman. Yeah, she needed that time alone. She needed to do that. So I need to do that. John Wesley did that. Then we can go through story after story after story. But to find a time and a space that works for you, you know, prayer closets might work. Walks along beaches might work. Going and sitting and watching a sunrise might work. The second one is to get rid of distractions. To get rid of all distractions. Dogs are a distraction. Mobile phones are a distraction. You don't want to have a phone call in the middle of your prayer time. Hold on, Lord, I just got to take this call, you know. You want to put it aside. And the other part of distractions is this mind, isn't it? I don't know about you, but my mind just keeps thinking and thinking and thinking. Even when I want to go to sleep at nighttime, it just keeps thinking and thinking and thinking, especially if I've got something coming up. Usually before preaching or sharing, I don't sleep real well because my head's thinking and thinking and thinking, and I'm going over it again and again and again. And so you've got to get rid of that. Maybe write down some notes that's in your mind so you empty your head. One of the things from Michael Frost is he said, take time to pray a prayer. He said the Lord's Prayer is a good one. And as you pray through it, just let it go. And the other one he said was the Jesus Prayer, which is, I've just gone blank on the Jesus Prayer. It's Almighty God, Creator of the heavens and earth, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's just that simple. And it's reflecting on who God is and having mercy on me, a sinner. It's the one where the tax collector and the Pharisee were in the temple praying. And the Pharisee was saying, I'm thankful that I'm not like him, God. And the tax collector's going, Lord God Almighty, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said to the disciples, who went home in a better place with God? The tax collector did. Because he's emptying himself. He's getting stuff out of his life and he's acknowledging before God that he's a sinner. And I think that ties in with that passage, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, if we get rid of the stuff in our lives, we repent of the gunk that's in our lives. All of us have different areas of sin that counterbalance what God wants us to do in our lives. Two of the areas that come up with this one specifically of stopping and listening are the sins, and I'll say sins, of fear and laziness. And the fear one comes in because if you set aside time with God and you empty your mind space and you sit and you go, Lord God, speak. Your servant's ready to listen. What if God speaks? What if he says for you to do something that's out of the ordinary? What if he gets you to go into an area and so fear kicks in, doesn't it? I don't want to do that. I like it when I'm in control of the prayer. I like it when I'm doing what I want to do and I'm just praying my prayers. But if I leave it open to God, he may challenge me to do something that's beyond my skills. Or he may encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. You might have something you're praying through, and God might answer you perfectly, just exactly as you need to. So you've got to rebuke fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. We've got to get that out of our lives. The second one is laziness. Laziness. Have you ever had someone rebuke you about being lazy? Anyone? No? Oh, well, I got rebuked Monday afternoon. I'm going through my supervision with Gabe, and Gabe's pointing out 5 important areas in my life. And so I'm looking at these important areas in my life. And he says, hey, do you acknowledge that that's an important area of your life? I said, yes. He said, but you scored yourself a 4 in that area. I said, correct. He said, why aren't you working harder on that? And I said, well, I'm busy. I'm not motivated. I couldn't be bothered. And he went, so it's not important then. I went, no, it's important. Guess what area of my life it is? My eating, my exercise, and my well-being. And he says, you mark it out of 4, but isn't it important? Yes, it's important. Well, what are you going to do about it? Oh, but, you know, Gabe, when I get home from work, I'm tired. I just don't feel like exercise. I don't feel like going for a bike ride. And he said, of course you don't. Of course you don't, but you still got to do it. But, you know, no. Is it important? Yes, it's important. Then do it. Oh, these guys are supposed to be nice to you. But isn't that true? If it's important, then you need to follow through on it. If your weight is important, then guess what? You've got to stop eating stuff you're not meant to be eating. And when you get tempted by it, you say no. It's as simple as that. If you should be exercising, you know you should be getting out and doing something, whether it's walking 10,000 steps, whether it's going to a boot camp or whatever it is, you know you should be doing it, then guess what? You've got to do it. You've just got to say, yes, I'm going to do it. So to pray or to find a space where God can speak into your life, sometimes we're just busy, God, or I slept in, or the dog's annoying, or I've got to cook dinner, or, you know, I've got this work to do, then it's not important. But if it is important, then you set aside the time and you set aside the place and then you persevere and you say, yes, I'm going to do this because listening to God in my life is important. It's important. So to find a place, to create a space for God to speak loudly and clearly into your life, and to back up what I just said, we need to persevere. We need to persevere. Let's have a quick look at that passage from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Now, if I go back to that first definition, prayer is an activity of man doing what man wants to desire. So is that like flesh? Yeah, it is. It's what I want to do. It's what I want to be in control of. The second one is the Spirit. So an activity of God that we're involved in fulfilling God's desires. So Spirit to Spirit, flesh to flesh. We need to make sure that we're a part of what the Spirit wants to do in and through our lives. And that passage, Romans chapter 8, is very loud and very clear. Because those living according to the flesh have their minds set on those things. But those living by the Spirit have their mind set on what God wants us to do. The mind governed by the flesh is death. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. If you've got the choice of death or life and peace, what are you going to choose? How important is it for you to grab this time to stop and to listen and let God speak into our lives? Let me share with you a passage. It's not from the Bible, it's just a bit of prose. It's called No More. We talk, but do we listen? We love, but do we connect deeply? We stand, but what for? We care, but do we go one step more? We live, but do we know life? We laugh, but do we experience joy? We do so much, but how much of it is at a surface level? My challenge to you today, and my challenge to myself, is this week to bless 3 people. To bless 3 people. To grab 3 people to have a coffee with or a meal with, and to find one space this week. Do you reckon you could do one space? You reckon you could find your diary and say, okay, there's a half hour slot or a 15 minute slot or an hour slot, up to you. That I'm going to set it aside. I'm going to go find a still, quiet place. And I'm going to let God speak to me. You reckon you could do that? Could you reckon you could share it with us if you did? And will you be obedient to what God does as he ministers into your life? Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you that this whole area of prayer is your idea. You're the one that wants us to pray. You're the one that wants to connect with us. You're the one that wants to break through into our lives. You're the one that wants to bring about transformation. You're the one that wants us to get us off thinking about the flesh, but on to thinking about the spirit. You have a brilliant plan and purpose for each and every one of us here. And Lord, we need to connect into it. Lord, you are the tree, and we need to connect into you. If we're just a branch that's fallen off, lying to the side, doing things our way, then there is no fruit and there is no life in that branch. We need to be connected into you. So, Father, this week, for all of us here, may we take on the challenge of spending one period of time where we can just sit and listen to you. Father, may we be faithful in the other areas of our prayers. May we be faithful in coming before you for other people. And in amongst all that, at the same time, not rushing through our prayers, but just stopping and listening as we pray, as we read your word, that your still small voice will speak into our lives and guide us and lead us. Father, thank you that your spirit wants to work in our lives, that you don't want to leave us alone. Your word tells us that you would never leave us nor forsake us, and that's so true, Lord God. No one in this place, no one in this community needs to be alone with you, Lord. You want to be involved. You want to touch our lives. You want to bring healing, strength, and purpose for each and every one of us. I pray we will just say yes to you, Lord, and let you, by the power of your spirit, bring transformation, Lord God. May the fruit of your spirit be in and through our lives. May your love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control just be flowing in and through each and every one of us, because that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. May it be so real and so evident, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.